with the latest in technology news and views. This is TechWrap, the podcast.
Feels like such a long time since I've pushed that button, but TechWrap, the podcast, back in action. Hello, Will.
Hello, Mr. Trent. How are you doing? Interesting times to bring the podcast back in, and some would say the perfect time, right, with all this spare time we have on our hands.
Very interesting climate, very interesting change of circumstances, but you got to roll with the punches. You know, lots changed in my life, but, you know, the podcast is here. I've got time now. It's very good.
Yes. As do I, as you know, the majority of Australia and some might say the world are working from home, you know, flexibility to do certain things,
well,
go for a walk.
Yeah, definitely.
Spend time with your pets and animals and maybe a cheeky podcast on the side as well.
Yeah, many people in major cities are working from home. It isn't drastically impacting those of us in regional areas at the moment, although we had you know, in that first wave of COVID-19 affecting workplaces, the need to work from home. But, you know, it certainly changed people's mindsets, you know, about what they're doing and what's going on and how they can, you know, better live their lives even. Maybe we've reprioritized things thanks to having a little bit of a downturn in the way that we were doing things. But yeah, this podcast can certainly be a part of it. We're back in action. We're going to keep it going this time. You know,
absolutely.
Life's challenges won't be getting in the way.
No, not at all. And I feel like it's been so long since I've seen you as well. And I've been up to some things, if you can see here. I've been growing a quarantine stash.
It's not filthy, because I can say that.
It's been, I've had a trim, you know, I've neatened it. But I'm in Melbourne, so as of right now, I'm in stage 4 lockdown.
Yeah.
You are in a more regional area, so not as stringent restrictions. So I have a lot of time to do things and I need to find ways to entertain myself. And one of those was putting forward the challenge to grow an amazing mustache, and look, it's coming along. And I don't think I've grown this long since Movember. This is probably one of my finest yet. I don't think I'm going to keep it once we start to go back to the real world.
Is it better than Movember?
In terms of looks and appearance, yeah. I definitely think so. But I mean, yeah, it's been an interesting, challenging time for a lot of people, especially in Melbourne with the harshest lockdowns. But the most interesting thing for me has been the shift of, you know, how immediate it was as well, moving to working from home or working remotely. And I remember, you know, even if you're looking a year ago, people would say, oh, it can't be done, or, you know, you have to be in the office 5 days a week for this reason, this reason, this reason, this reason. And all the reasons are dated and old, and it's generally older people from management telling you these things. And then it takes a situation like a global pandemic to realize that you don't have a choice but to adapt and to work from home and come up with solutions. Meanwhile, tech companies have been working on the solutions for such a long time behind the scenes. So when something like this did happen, we had all the tools in place.
But even tech companies weren't necessarily utilizing all those resources that they had. And, you know, people had resources, they've thought about it in the past and they've used it casually. But, you know, earlier on in the year when the first stage broke down, people just had to drop everything, put these measures in place and learn to make it happen. And, you know, in some cases it was only a week, maybe even a week and a half for some people, because there wasn't necessarily always a forethought in, you know, how to get this going. So when it did happen, it happened. It happened in a rush. But most businesses managed to survive pretty decently with the changes. And you know, were able to send the entire workforce off home and still get everything done. There was still internet connectivity and, you know, it worked out.
And I think one of the major players in making that all happen is Zoom, right? Like the need for meetings and face-to-face. And they were a platform that people could just quickly jump into an Access, and it just it took off. It skyrocketed.
Platforms like Zoom did.
Yeah, yeah. And I was looking at the share price of Zoom also, like, through the roof. And I was like, damn, should have invested. Should have known that everyone was on Zoom. But, yeah, they've just seen great success, haven't they, with everyone adapting to their platform.
They have. Microsoft as well has put themselves in good form with the Teams platform. You know, it's still not perfect. It's slowly evolving. But, you know, the video and audio functionality in it is getting on. And the fact that, you know, a lot of workplaces these days, due to the way that Microsoft has changed, I guess, their licensing systems and pushed people over onto the old Office 365 platform, you know, Teams is just another one of those things that's bundled in with all of the other stuff that you know, generally use on Microsoft systems. And to have that there and to be able to just fire that up, train a few people in how to use it and get on with it is certainly been a big help. So, you know, Zoom, Teams, Cisco with their WebEx platform. And then there's also, you know, there's other third-party options. I mean, systems like we've used in the past, Discord, and there's also been a few free options that I've found as well, because I've had the need for being able to do it free and not needing to pay for a platform as such. A whole raft of things. Jitsi was the one I was thinking of. It's free in a web browser, and you essentially can just go to a website, give people a URL, you can set a password on it, and off you go. And generally, you know, 9 times out of 10, it works absolutely perfect. Just like I guess Zoom has managed to do, although out of all of it, they have had minor problems in the last couple of weeks. They've had some technical dramas that have put off about 15,000 users, and we talk about at the peak of the US and UK workday, so not necessarily affecting Australia and New Zealand, for instance. But
that wasn't worldwide. Was that isolated to the US, or
it was affecting primarily servers in the US and Europe? But I mean, it all depends on, you know, how your internet traffic is routed as to whether it will affect you or not, because you can still end up hitting one of these servers, you know, even if your connection is in Australia. You know, people are using things like VPNs a lot more. And so, you know, when you're using a VPN connection, your general connectivity can be routed in all sorts of directions, depending upon what you need it for and what servers you're pushing to. So you could have also been in this situation as well. But, you know, in terms of, you know, what they've been able to handle, I guess, you know, the fact that their shares have gone up, you know, they've had a large number of users on their user base. They reckon they've got 300 million daily participants, and that's up from about 10 million in December, because, you know, no one was really using it to the scale.
That 10 million to 300 million.
Yep, and they've managed to keep it all up most of the time. And, you know, this disruption over the last week or so has probably been one of the biggest ones that they've had to date. Not too many blips in the radar. It's quite amazing, and it's a testament to the infrastructure that they've got in place and the crews that have been able to, you know, keep it all in order and keep people connected using conferencing platforms.
It's going to be interesting to see who knows what things are going to look like in the future, but if people will stick with Zoom long term, because I know you know, the organization I work with, we started with Zoom just because it was that one that they got into the market first, and everyone was like, Zoom, do Zoom meeting, blah, blah, blah. But now we're slowly switching over to Teams. So just because it integrates more in with that whole Office 365 ecosystem,
absolutely,
that we got going, and Outlook, everything, it's just like a seamless integration. So I wonder how many workplaces will move away from Zoom once they figure out a more integrated solution. So I reckon they will. And, you know, as people go back into the office and have face-to-face meetings, obviously the user base is going to decline. But it will be interesting to see just how many people still continue to use Zoom post-COVID and things like that. Yeah, it's just been incredible. And you say 15,000 really, you know, they have over 3 million every day. That's not even a blip. Like, is that even newsworthy, Yetis?
Well, I reckon it is newsworthy for the fact that, you know, we really haven't heard that much from Zoom, given it's been a big thing in the online space over the last... what are we in now? We're 8 months in the year. We're almost... we're not far off a full year again.
Crazy.
And there's been just so much going on. I mean, here in Australia, you know, we were right in the thick regionally in bushfires over the later stages of the Christmas period, New Year. That ended.
I fled from, I had to be evacuated, like, for those bushfires. Not my house.
Yeah.
I was camping out kind of where one started.
Yeah.
But, like, and it was, yeah. The next day, I think the fire went through where we're all camping and stuff. And as we were driving home, I think I told you this story. We're driving home, and like at one point, like the whole hill we were driving to in the distance was like covered in flames and in fire. And I thought we were driving towards it. And then we kind of veered off to the left, and then you could just see it. But it would have been only maybe 30, 40, 50 kilometers away and heading in sort of our direction. But you're right. Like, it's crazy to think that. You're right. We had the bushfires over Christmas and stuff, and then a couple of months break, and then into global pandemic. It's been a crazy year.
It's unexplainable, you know, and it's one of those ones that we'll chalk up in the history books just through the sheer scale of what we've had to push
100%.
Through a whole 12-month period. And, you know, it's still not over as well. But, you know, we've just got to keep going. However we can do it.
Keep going, keep trucking as usual and pretend like everything's okay. And one of the companies that are doing that is Samsung, who've just recently released their Galaxy Note 20 lineup here in Australia. Got to keep, you know, the world spinning, got to keep the money going, got to keep the consumers buying. It'd be interesting to see how many people, you know, especially here in Australia where so many people around the world as well, out of work, you know, they're on government support. Like, is this the time people are going to be spending money on one of the most expensive phones or phone series you can buy on the market?
Very much question that, at least here in Australia.
Yeah, and I mean, so they released the Samsung Galaxy Note 20 and then the 20 Ultra, which is like the crazy premium model, ridiculously priced. And the price difference between the Note and the Ultra, I think it's like maybe $300-something. Do you know the difference? I can't remember off the top of my head. But
it was a few good $100 anyway.
Yeah, but like at that point, would you be better off just going, oh, look, I'll just spend the extra money on getting the Ultra and get the premium version. I hate the fact that they do this.
And that's what they're hoping you'll do. They're definitely pitching their market towards doing that.
I hate it because I'm like back in the day, it used to be just the Galaxy S, whatever. And then 6 months later, you'd have the Galaxy Note, and that was it. Simple, clean. Now they introduce multiple versions of the S lineup, and now they introduce two versions of the Note lineup. Like, come on. And as you know, like, I've been a Note fan for a long, long time, and I think. I can't remember if I don't think I got the Galaxy. I'm just trying to think what my first Note phone was. Like, I don't know if it was the Galaxy Note 2 or the Galaxy Note 4. I think I had the 2 and then I had the 4. And like, God knows how it feels like a lifetime ago, but ever since I've had the Note phone. And like, so right now I have whatever you call this one, the Note 8. So
the one before the explosion, wasn't it?
The one after the explosion.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the Note 7. So yeah, always been a fan of the Note. I mean, the S Pen is, you know, what does it for me. I love it. I probably don't use it enough to even justify having it.
I was actually going to say, what would you estimate your usage percentage
5%,
to be?
Like 2 to 5%.
That's so worth it.
Yeah, it is worth it. I'm glad you agree. But I like the option of having it. I just think it's really cool on the off chance I need to sign something on here or I don't know, write someone's phone number down or just scroll. You're making it sound silly. But no, I love it. So then I look at this lineup and I go, look, why? I'm not spending that amount of money. I could get a secondhand motorbike and have way more fun with that, or a boat, a sailboat. I could buy a sail. You know, the things you could buy. I could buy a whole new computer. I could buy a laptop. Like,
yeah.
Unbelievable. And do you know what? The rumor is currently at the minute, just now this has been released. We're already tired of that news, right? Boring. It's been released like yesterday. Everyone's over it. Like, what's next?
Well,
right?
People got
what's
them.
The
yeah.
next phone going to be? Right? It's really this world we live in. It's like, okay, that's been released now. Okay, what's the next thing? It's like a week old. People are already tired of it and they want to know what the next thing is. Like, that's ridiculous on its own. But the rumors are that the next lineup, the S lineup that people are at the minute calling the Galaxy S30 Ultra, but they're also, it might be called the Galaxy S21. I don't know. Like, it would make sense, right? Because they do the 20 for 2020, then 21 for the year. That makes sense. Like, I don't know why they'd go the S30. I'm saying the S21. I could be wrong. But apparently, this is the rumor, pure speculation.
No way.
That they're going to get rid of the Note series and integrate the stylus into the S lineup. So you'd have like your lower model S model, then you'd have your Galaxy S, 21, and then you might have your Galaxy S21 Ultra, and the Ultra would have the stylus.
I really don't think that one works very well. I know they love... Oh, I love...
That way you have your Ultra, your premium model all in one thing, right? Like, this is the high-end S lineup. It comes with the highest-end specs. It has, you know, 23 cameras on it, and it comes with the stylus. So you know what you're getting, and then you can get the S version, and it's just, like, without the stylus, maybe less specs.
But I mean, the Note is the largest screen. It's what people like to coin the phablet, so it's larger than some people like, because, you know, certain people like to be able to hold their phone in their hand. Mind you, I'm still on the old Chinese Huawei handset. Nothing wrong with that. But
I'm holding it in my hand.
Well, yeah, but I mean, some people...
I have really big hands.
You know, people with smaller hands, other genders, etc., you know, they might like something which they reckon is a bit smaller. So that's fair. There's an option for them normally. But, you know, the Note is that... In between, when you need something bigger to read things, but you don't want to be taking a tablet with you. And I guess the market at the moment for the foldable phone, which would give you larger screen size, it's still a bit pricey. Mm-hmm. So, because they're wanting, you know, $2,000, you could drop that sort of money on a computer instead of a phone, which, you know, depending upon how long these... builds last, given the fact, you know, you're opening and closing this thing all the time, and it's only, you know, 5 years into fruition at this point. And they had their own problems in the first models with the type of coatings they were using on the top too. So, like, there's still room for a Note, I think. And I had a Note quite a long time ago, but... You know, Android was still a bit fresh then. I actually didn't mind it. The only thing was I went back to the Apple ecosystem because I just didn't feel like everything was together in the Android platform. But things have changed. I mean, this thing is on Android. And I'm happy.
Yeah, no, it's great. Look, I think I like it. I like the idea of it because, like, you look at the S20 Ultra and then you look at the Note, and it's like basically the exact same thing anyway, but with a stylus, right? And they're releasing a whole new phone just for that, and you have to wait another 6 months. It's essentially the same phone anyway, so you might as well just get rid of that Note phone and then whack the stylus in the high-end S model and call it a day, and then you've got a streamline. You just call it the S series, 3 phones. You can have your small screen. You can have your large screen without the stylus, and then you can have the large screen with the stylus. I think it's perfect and makes a lot of sense, and really hope that's what the case is. Now I'm in a bit of a dilemma because I was eyeing off the Galaxy Note 20, and then if it is like another, geez, Feb next year or whatever, they're going to release the 21 Ultra with the stylus. Like, you know, might as well wait for that. But, and I just had a look, I just looked up the price here, Getty's. $1,849. And that's for the 256 gig Ultra. Mm. And if you want the 5G version, it's 2,000.
Which,
and then if you
good.
Want the 5G with 512 gigabytes, it's $2,199.
Too much money for a mobile phone. And, you know, 5G still in its infancy on a portable device. I think you'd probably get more value off having 5G in your house if you're living in a location where they've got a lot of cells, and you could be using that instead of, you know, the NBN and other internet connectivity. And as for whether you hold off for another phone, do you really sit there and listen to the rumor mills and go, oh, you know, buying this one now might be not all that good. You know, the next model's coming out in this date. And, you know, that rumor mill, there's always a rumor mill around. So, and they've always got something bigger and better in their mindset. And, you know, the reality is they might, but they might not at the point in time that they're thinking of it. So, you know, if you're needing a new phone, like I think I can see a bit of damage on yours right now, well, you know, if you had your heart set on that that model that's out now, why not?
Look at this.
Is that a crack?
I dropped it into a soup bowl.
What?
I was having soup on the couch.
I thought you would have
and
had something.
I had the bowl. No, look, this is, can I just say, this is ridiculous. And Samsung, this sucks. But I had a bowl and I was about, my phone was next to me. And then I was like, oh, I wonder, I got a message or something popped up. And so I brought my phone over to have a look. And it was like this high from the bowl. It wasn't like, oh, I was standing up and dropping it, hit the ground. It was like literally this far, and I just dropped it, and then it hit the corner of the bowl right on the curve. And I guess that's a weak point. And then it just went,
yeah,
it didn't go in my soup. It just hit the corner of the bowl, cracked,
well,
and went out.
You only have to open the edge up and it all goes. But I thought that looked a little bit more like a spectacular drop, like one you would have done you're boarding along, you accidentally lost track of the phone and bang, hits the ground, there you go. But no.
Soup bowl.
Soup bowl. Beware when you're eating soup next.
And do you know how much to replace the screen? I got quoted like $300.
Well, that's not too bad in the grand scheme of things. I've
put that $300 towards a new phone.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if you could bear that for a little while longer, you can go out and get a new handset.
I can bear with it. We don't need it. You know, it's fine. It works. It's
Some
just
people believe they need it when it's broken.
Even when it's not broken, they believe they need the next model. And must have.
I must have been like that at one stage.
Oh, yeah, we all were.
I was in contracts as well. That's how ridiculous it was. But, you know, I've had a little bit of time under the water, under the bridge, as they say, and, you know, a bit smarter now. Buying my own phone outright next time.
Anyway, let's move on. I've had enough talking about it. It makes me just want a new phone.
That makes you want to cry when you see that sort of thing. And, you know, you could be crying if you're not being a bit particular with the links that you're clicking. You know, more attempts to get, you know, access to people's information, to be able to access people's computer to do illegitimate things.
Especially when everyone's working from home,
yes,
and using all like links, emails all day and accessing things remotely and having to access, you know, files, things.
And it's probably one reason why you need to get your, you know, your workplace working on the one uniform system and I guess confirming exactly what sort of systems, you know, other companies that are working with you are using as well, because then that prevents the number of people clicking on suspicious links and installing software that they don't need to be installing to their devices. Now, Google Drive is being used for attempts to put malware on the cloud service. They're using a feature in Google Drive called Manage Versions, and basically this feature allows you to be able to, I guess, update documents but still keep the same links to the people that you're sending it to. So you can essentially you know, go into your file manager on the Google Drive website and upload an updated version from there. Problem is, Google systems are not detecting the file type or even, I guess, you know, the data that might have been in that file intelligently. And so people are managing to swap documents with executable files and other items which may carry malware activity. You know, it's been reported to Google. They're apparently, you know, they're working on the situation at the moment. The test case that they found weren't flagged as a malicious file, but they claim, you know, they're doing regular virus and malware scanning before people download stuff. You know, people can evade systems, but it would be hoped that Google find some sort of procedure to be able to, you know, fix this way of being able to version things so that, you know, it isn't taken advantage of in the wide scale to cause these sort of problems to people's systems, the people who, you know, aren't 100% with IT.
Yeah, it's very, very tricky times. And I use Google Drive. Now you've got me worried.
Well, I'm on the Microsoft platform, so I don't care at the moment.
What do you use to upload and send files and stuff?
OneDrive? We're on OneDrive, and I've got a few not-for-profit organizations that I'm involved in. And, you know, Microsoft is very good to be offering their Office 365 platform in a not-for-profit edition so that it doesn't cost money to utilize any of the services. So, you know, we have SharePoint as well, so we can store organization files and send stuff. And that worked out effectively when I was working as well. We migrated Dropbox onto SharePoint and we'll still be able to, you know, send off links. And in a sense, it was a little bit more secure than what Dropbox had been previously because of the way that I guess you had to do things to send out to external parties. So, you know, there's a lot of options out there and they've all got varying, you know, benefits and downsides, and hoping that particular issue with malware and versioning on Google Drive doesn't become some sort of long-term downer on what they do, because, you know, Google's offered so much to the online community thus far.
Surely, like, I mean, it's such a mammoth company. They should be all over, right, and come up with algorithms and AI to detect this thing once they get a good grasp of it, and it shouldn't be a problem. But in the meantime, what can people do to combat this if they're suspicious of a link? What can we do?
Well, you know, if you're suspicious of links that you're gaining access to, I guess you just do those ground checks to see who you're retrieving them from. And, you know, if you are worried about a third party, you could ask them, you know, if they really legitimately need to send a file to you, you could ask them to send it on another platform, for instance. In terms of the versioning, you know, avoiding the versioning option if you're uploading the files could be a handy thing. You can always upload the files fresh each time and provide a new link every time you need to share
so
the documents.
Much work.
Well, is
that's
it really?
So
is it really?
Yes.
It's only a few clicks, to be honest.
So just don't open something called super urgent refund, or you've got $50 million in your bank account, please open this now or the money will expire .zip.
Or if someone keeps sending you email updates of new versions of files and it's a bit quick, you might be thinking that's a little bit suspicious, perhaps.
All right. Thank you for the warning. We'll definitely stay vigilant and keep our eye out. But yeah, so if you do use Google Drive, just be wary of updated version of files. And if you think, you know, you're a bit uncertain, maybe contact your IT department or, you know, the person you thought it was from. Like, hey, did you update this new thing? And just get confirmation before you open it up.
To be honest, just be vigilant with your online use. I know it seems like one of those things that, you know, we just use online platforms all the time and we got so comfortable with them, but, you know, you don't know what's up next. So it's good to have that little forethought and think, well, did you actually send that to me? Do I need to be clicking this link? Where is this link going to? and what's going to happen, you know? It doesn't take long to think about it, and it'll save your computer in the long term, especially if it's your home computer, because, you know, if you don't know what you're doing, you'll be taking it off to the computer shop and losing that computer for a few days while they try and work out what's going on there.
Yeah. You know, while we've all been in lockdown and at home, I know I've been ordering things online a lot more than I would be. A lot of shops are doing click and collect, or, you know, home delivery. A lot of home delivery services have popped up. Have you been ordering any items during this crisis to your home, or have you had an increase, or same?
Oh, it's much muchness generally. Although the fresh food orders have increased because the local fruit and veggie retailer wholesaler around here, they do deliveries about three times a week out to our country location, and you know, for a few weeks there, we thought, oh, this is a very handy thing, and you know, that saved us the worry of needing to go and find these things, especially given that we'd only be able to get them in supermarkets because they're on the Victorian side, and because I'm in New South Wales, I can't go anywhere near it because of the border blocks at the moment.
Yeah, well, I've been going nuts. I've been ordering things off eBay, Amazon, anywhere that says they can home deliver free. I've been click frenzy weekly. I know the postman by first name now. That's how much interaction I've had.
You could call it a credit card frenzy.
It's like Christmas every day. It's like, it's brilliant. Every day there's like a new box and you forget about what you ordered last week because you've been ordering so many things. And then you're like, oh, what's this one? And you're like, yes, it's my beanbag. Yes, it's my hot dog shaped pillow that I've always wanted. You know, you've never realized how much lumbar support a hot dog shaped pillow could give you until you've tried it. I'll send you a link later. But an interesting thing with this increase of home deliveries and, you know, people purchasing from Amazon is I saw an interesting article the other day about Amazon. This is as all good things generally start, it's in America,
US.
Right? We have no good ideas here in Australia.
But and those providers don't push them out in a hurry either.
Yeah, exactly right. But the article is Amazon and FedEx push to put delivery robots on your sidewalk.
Are we ready for that?
So, have you seen?
Well, they're ready
pictures?
For them anyway.
So there's like an Amazon Prime robot thing, and it's got six wheels, and it looks like a blue Esky. Imagine an Esky with wheels, and this is essentially what it is, right? With your pipe package inside, and it's locked, and drives along. Anyway, they've been doing testing with this thing, and they're proposing, they're trying to get legislation passed to allow these robots on the street. They can apparently travel up to six miles per hour, I think it is, which is pretty nuts, right? Like, that's pretty fast. And can you imagine those robots flying past you as you're like out walking with the dog, or the robot clipping your dog's leg, or hitting someone, or even if it had detection, right, where it would detect there are people walking and then go really slow behind them. You look behind you, you have this robot just slowly wheeling behind you. It'd be very unnerving. Yeah, it's nuts. Like, to think that they could pass something like this, and the fact that surely people are going to be like ambushing these things and breaking them into them, and they're going to be vandalized. And are they only allowing them in like safe neighborhoods, or like, is there risk assessment routes where like the lowest crime rate route you take? That's a whole different thing. But the very fact that they want to put these, and FedEx as well, could you imagine, like, do you know how many people order things
from
Amazon? And do you imagine that, you think how many of these robots would need to be on the road?
How many of those robots could they afford to put on the road? And, you know, how do you keep track of these things and prevent all of those possibilities? You know, anything could grab that thing while it's driving along if it's not in a safe area as you think. And, you know,
and
that's 10 kilometres an hour, by the way. So, and they're proposing in some cases to have them go up to 10 miles an hour.
That's
so
nuts.
That's well over 10Ks.
My question is, whatever happened to the drone delivery service that we were talking about years ago, right?
Well,
have they given up on that completely?
It hasn't worked out here in Australia because of the way they like to control drones and where airspace. They fly and the limitations on airspace and all those conditionals. They did a bit of a test case, I think, in Canberra a couple of years ago, and I think it only ever ended up being a test case, and it was only limited to a couple of suburbs. So it really didn't get off the ground.
Is this happening in America, the drone deliveries, or no, not at all? Do we know?
Don't know. I actually don't know.
That's right. Like, we don't.
It went so quiet.
Story. Yeah, and then just nothing. And even back then, people were talking about like shooting down the drones or having like drone capture nets that they could fire at to get the packages. And these robots, they don't stand a chance. This is ridiculous. Like, there's no way this would pass, right? Surely. And that's a dangerous precedent if it does. There's got to be a better way than like wheeled Eskies moving towards you, right? Like, there has to be a better way. What's wrong with why do we need the robots? What's wrong with the current system we have of humans delivering things?
Well, it's all about money, isn't it? I mean, but you know, if you think about the drones, well, you're still spending money on it. It might be a one-off cost and then some maintenance charges, but the human touch is more effective in ensuring that the vast number of packages get to where they need to be and, you know, can be completely traced. And you know, while it's a cool idea to give this a bit of a go, it could certainly work out to be some sort of product that they could use in limited circumstances. But, yeah, really? To deliver packages? I don't see it being effective. It's a bit of a buzz. You can put
they have like an ulterior motive or some other agenda on trying to get this something passed or whatever.
Someone will get something out of it.
We'll see what happens, I guess. What have you been using any new apps during your downtime in the lockdown? Have you come across anything new and exciting?
I'm a little bit slow on the whole app thing. I have had a look, admittedly, given so many people talk about it, TikTok. Because, I mean, I'm more of a viewer than anything. I'm not contributing anything to the platform, but there's a lot of people sharing stuff on there. You know, some of it's funny, some of it's a little bit silly, but, you know, it's happening nonetheless. And they're also, I guess, experiencing their own struggles, especially in the USA. A little bit like the phone manufacturer.
Yeah, I think a lot of people didn't realize this, and I certainly didn't realize this when, you know, it first came out and was going viral and things. It's a Chinese app, right?
Its origination is China. The company is global now because of how far it's kicking on with things. And even in Australia at the moment, there's a few big names in the media scene, in terms of the back-end media scene, who are actually jumping across to TikTok as a company because they've got positions where they're trying to blend in new features, which they will, I guess, potentially use to drag more people across to the platform. So they're taking program and music directors out of the radio scene and getting them involved in what they're doing to shape the next component. But not going so well in the US. There's been a bit of a conversation back and forth for a few months, questioning the value of the company and how, you know, the company is looking after people's data, given the fact that, you know, the Chinese origination, and everyone worries about what sort of information the Chinese government may get off it. TikTok's confirmed in multiple occasions, or at least their parent company has, that, you know, they store their data, in countries where things are a little bit more manageable, like Singapore, for instance, and then even in the USA. They've got offices in the USA. They've got offices in Australia, just to name a few. But Mr. Trump is unimpressed, or should I say President Trump.
He's not a big fan of China, is he?
No. Well, not much of a fan anyway.
He wants to ban the app in America.
He wants to ban the platform in America. He's not cool with it. He is on some sort of other third-party system, which strikingly is very similar to what TikTok currently is. TikTok's completely unimpressed with the idea. They're ready to take legal action, and we're going to see this back and forth play out in the news over the next couple of months. I don't know where it's going to go at this point in time, because if you look at Huawei, that company got themselves shut out of the US in terms of interacting with businesses that provided them services. They weren't able to sell their 5G tower infrastructure, and it's even got to the point that, the phones do not have Google services anymore because they're not allowed to interact with Google, and Google terminated their agreement. So, it'll be an interesting case to see whether TikTok can manage to, clear this challenge and actually remain an international stranglehold in that market that they've got in the sharing platforms.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be interesting to see what happens with all of that. I feel like it's probably going to be a bunch of nothing in the end.
Well, it could be.
There'll be some sort of make sure our data is safe and secure, or host our data on American servers or something like this. But in terms of the fundamental aspects of the app, the users, the viewers, I don't know if we'll see I don't think we're going to see, no one from America posting on the app.
At minimum, it'll be a battle of the egos.
The Play Store or the Apple Store. But we'll see what happens, and we'll definitely keep you all updated on the outcome of that, because I think, it's an interesting thing, and it also sets interesting precedents with, apps and countries and what countries can access the apps. And even right now, Epic and Fortnite are having this big battle with the Apple Store.
Yes.
Where they don't want to pay there's 30% commission they have to pay to Apple for whenever in-game currency is purchased with real money through their store, and it's only exclusive through their store. So then they pulled the game from
It was a case of undercutting. They wanted to run their own in-app purchasing
without paying
platform.
Apple any commission.
Well, I mean, they still had the Apple, situation in place, but then they put their own offer in there and it was undercutting Apple. So Apple's like, no, we're not going to have this rubbish. And then the battle started. So the app was pulled from the App Store, the development rights were pulled, and, Epic Games is now suing Apple.
Yeah, so there's lots of crazy stuff happening at the moment.
COVID's making everyone crazy, I tell you.
Yeah, absolutely it is. That's another thing I think we'll keep an eye on and see what happens with that, because, again, there's going to be a precedent set with how Apple handle transactions through their, marketplace, and that would even set the precedent through for Google as well.
That is not the only thing that has happened with Apple recently as well. WordPress, the content management system, they have an app for mobile phones, and they were told about a week ago, you're going to have to put in-app purchases in your application. Otherwise, you can't update your software to the latest edition, which means people wouldn't be able to use the WordPress app moving forward. A week down the track, Apple's decided to change their tune, even though WordPress was going to do what Apple said so that they could just get on with things. So that one's changed, but that is a big open source, free development movement, and I don't think, legal action in those games would work very well.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't seem to be slowing them down either, because you look at their stock price.
And
it's over $500 now, and I think they're the first US company now to be over worth $2 trillion or something. The fascinating stat there is Apple's valuation is equivalent to 10% of the United States GDP. 10% of the country.
Staggering, isn't it? Absolutely staggering.
It's insane. So, I mean, all this controversy that they're having and fights and lawsuits, yet they are still worth so much money.
Yeah.
And their stock is going up. So I think they're going to be fine at the end of the day, but it'll be interesting to see what happens, with everyone else and how they handle it. I don't think it's a good look for Apple to be this way, but yet, investors or shareholders don't care.
Well, so, I mean, all these people thought, you know, when Steve Jobs died and direction changed on things, that it was really going to affect Apple. Hasn't done all that much in the way of impacting, you know, what people are buying. People are still eating up Apple.
Apple was doing same old every year when he was around anyway. Like, he had that true innovation, but then, like, it was still the same thing every year. Like, they weren't innovating every year since the iPhone. Like what's new? The iPhone's still the iPhone.
The Macs are still the Mac.
It's like,
except
really,
they're going back to their own CPU architecture now. Instead,
if you showed me if you showed me like an iPhone 5, 6, 7, 8, and they all had the same screen size, I honestly probably couldn't tell you which one is which. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that was subtle feature changes for a few variants, and there would always be the flagship model which had some major changes, but then the next step up would be the SE, which was just a slight adjustment to what the previous one was. So it was always an in-betweener kind of thing.
Do you know what's another interesting tech company?
Other interesting tech company?
Spotify.
Well,
we're
fans. A lot of market share, haven't they?
We were early adopters, I think. You know.
Well, yeah,
I know you were.
I like the convenience because I'm a bit slack, and you know, up until recently, I had a lot on my plate. So, the whole idea of doing what you did in the late 90s and early 2000s and managing your own music library and syncing it across to devices and all that sort of thing, too much work. Spotify came along and you can just set playlists and you can follow other people's playlists and stream whatever you want and use, you know, the app and on your computer in a web-based platform, and you just search for what you want to hear and hit play. So, you know, I'm on it. You know, I don't necessarily love where it goes in terms of...
You have the family plan, don't you?
Yeah, we're on the family
plan. I remembered when you told me about that, you wouldn't let me be part of your family plan.
Well...
And I was very upset.
Your last name's not the same. It makes things a little bit hard.
Does that matter? Does it, though? Like, can't I just have back? Anyway, we'll take this offline.
Yeah,
we'll
we don't need to be arguing on a podcast over that sort of trivial stuff.
Side note... I've seen people selling Spotify accounts that are just stolen leftover family plan spots. So they'll hack into an account and see, like, this person's on a family plan, but there's only two or three devices is connected. Then you can have another up to six, is it?
I think it is up to six.
Somewhere around there. So then they'd sell the accounts for like $3 and be like, this is a $3 lifetime Spotify account. Oh. And I'd just be selling like family plans.
George.
And there's like a whole website devoted to this. But that's crazy. That's just a little fun fact there for you. But some interesting stuff coming out of Spotify lately. They're kind of really, they're not just like, oh, we're a music streaming service. We're happy being that. Let's just be that. No, they're looking to expand in every possible way in the same, maybe they want to be, you know, the next Apple or, you know, Uber or whatever. They're not slowing down is what I'm getting at here.
There's all potential for it.
So recently we just had, they announced a partnership with League of Legends, the Riot video game, as to be the exclusive music streaming partnership there. So they're expanding into gaming, and so that'll probably be the first of other partnerships to come later. Another thing that now, especially in the current environment that we're in, is COVID. Is that this is some news from someone who's like got into an app or a beta version of the app and then reverse engineered it and got some, you know, some code from it to see what they're working on in the back end and slowly starting to implement. So when they want to roll it out, they can just flick a switch and all the back end stuff's already there. So they've reverse engineered the app and come across some interesting things. I don't think it's confirmed by Spotify as of yet, but virtual events. So imagine like instead of a concert you go to, you can watch a virtual concert through Spotify. So they're exploring this virtual events alternative. It's not live yet. It was reverse engineered. So we can only kind of speculate what they're trying to do here or test or integrate some sort of video or something like that. they also have a partnership with, you know, various ticketing partners already in play. So that makes sense that they could sell tickets to a virtual event to Spotify. And it's interesting because would they then, so you'd have your Spotify subscription, but then you would have to then buy a ticket for the concert event, the live event, I guess, as well on top of that, and whatever that may be. And then the other thing, so that's interesting. So we'll see if that rolls out or happens. And, but I think adding video to the platform makes sense eventually. And the other areas they're expanding big into is podcasts as well. So as you know, probably like, I don't know if you like Joe Rogan, if you're a fan of his podcast, he got an exclusive deal to switch to fully to Spotify. And so, and there's been some other controversy in the podcast space with, you know, people who'd been there from kind of the beginning and then not being treated so well with the exclusivity agreements and the, not, you know, supporting the audience and stuff. So there's a bit of weird stuff happening in that space. But podcasts, and like we're doing now, we're adding video to the podcast. And now
we're giving it a go anyway.
Yeah. And then if you were listening to Tech Rap on Spotify, imagine then you just listen to the podcast. And then what if you had the option to click the video as well?
Well, right? Yeah, they could like already implement that, given the fact that they've been playing around with Vision with some video, some songs, some modern releases actually have like, you know, a rotating banner with some sort of Vision in it. So, you know, it's already half there. I'm not particularly sold on the idea of live concerts in the app. It feels a la Apple with their Beats One Radio, or what are they calling it now? Apple One Radio. It's like you've got to be on that platform to be able to utilize that. And would I really want to go on that platform when I can do all these other things on these other websites and I can still sort of use similar sort of mechanisms to get in? What is so enticing to that? But like the idea of rolling maybe video clips out of new releases, that'd be pretty brilliant, because it's already a place people are using to consume music. So why wouldn't you consume video clips there as well? And it value adds what your platform and your properties you know, offering too.
Yeah, imagine if you had like a 1 week exclusive of a video clip. So it was with you know, let's say who's a really popular pop star at the minute?
I'm out of.
Is Taylor Swift.
Taylor Swift
still
goes all right. Yeah,
there you go. So her new song comes out, and she has a 1 week exclusive deal with Spotify. So her video is debuted there for 1 week only. Do you imagine how much traffic they would get?
A lot.
And then it goes out on, you know, YouTube or, you know, whatever other platforms you can put it out on. So it makes a lot of sense. And then to have an interesting also thing with the podcasts, right? Like you have an exclusive deal with a podcaster and then you're listening with your premium, so you get no ads, but then within the podcast you sell ads. Like with, you know, we're talking. So then, right? Because then you can say, look, we got this exclusive podcast, X Men. Then they can go to big ticket advertisers and say, look, we'll put an insert into the show. We'll get the podcaster to give you a shout out, right? So now they're getting ad revenue from the sponsor. That's huge. And you're listening to the podcast with premium and they're sneaking in an ad. Now, I'm not saying they'll do this, but
or
like,
allow it even.
Let's see. This is my little prediction, right? Because, like, what do they get out of having exclusive big-name podcasters on the platform if you're listening ad-free anyway? And well, most, you know what I mean?
Primarily,
I guess maybe the people that don't listen with the premium, they get more premium subscriptions, but I think they're missing out on, like, a huge potential of, like, you know, Nike to come in and be like, oh, I got my new Nike sneakers on today, something like that. Anyway, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, well, they're definitely getting more subscriber space to invite people in on that sort of thing, and that's their main aim. Whether they'll manage to allow it to be some sort of option where you can sell to your heart's content and both parties can get a cut, you know, you have to see what they got in mind, really, and what what will actually be beta tested rather than something that's sitting there as code ready for the next big thing.
Yeah, I guess we'll just have to keep an eye out. Time will tell. And I'm sure we'll touch on this again when my, you know, predictions come true or not. We'll find out. Either way. Hey, do you know, we talk about kind of, we pick, you know, the bigger topics of the week out and we have a chat about them and sort of a bit of a deep dive and discuss them and flesh them out and give our thoughts and opinions. But sometimes there are, you know, news headlines that come out and, you know, they're not much more than the news headline. It's just a little taste, a little bite. You know, the news is almost in the headline itself. You know what I mean? Like you don't need to go below the surface on these ones because they essentially tell you everything in the headline. So we have a little segment here. It's called Quick Head, where we just give you quick headlines of the week relating to tech. And we have a theme song that goes with it. So Geddes, if you want to play the theme song.
What theme song?
We don't have the theme song.
No, we still don't have a theme song.
I don't want to sing it, but if you're a long-time listener of the podcast,
and he used to do it.
Look, they've brought out a new episode after 20 years. Let's give it a listen. And I remember that funny quick head jingle.
20 years? They weren't even podcasting 20 years.
We'll work on it for next time. We'll try and find an old podcast where I'm singing it and we'll add some music to it or something and we'll produce it. But anyway, so that's something to look forward to next week. So make sure you're
did you say following look the forward? Podcast.
Yeah, look forward to next week. So make sure you're following the podcast. And we haven't given a shout out to our socials before we go into Quick Head Geddes. Why don't you tell people how they can track along with us?
Oh, well, we got a website. We've got techwrap.net. We are TechWrap Australia on Facebook as well. And, you know, you can email mail at techwrap.net as well if you're keen to touch base or you want to send us some sort of media release. You'd love us to chat to you maybe as well.
Twitter as well? The old Twitter account?
Yeah, we do a bit of Twitter as well. So you can search for TechWrap on there too.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure if you just Google TechWrap Australia.
Oh, you'll find us.
A lot of our links will come you'll up. You'll find TechWrap the podcast. It'll be there. So yeah, do reach out and do follow along. And of course, on all the, you know, anywhere that you can stream a podcast, you will find us. Just type it in, easy. And yeah, make sure you follow along. So these are the quick headlines of the week. Here we go. And you let me know what you think and let me know if you are familiar with the headline. We won't go too deep into it because essentially it is in the headline. Here we go. Google is pushing to get the Nest Hub in more hotel rooms. A new update is tailored for the hotel experience with key features like wake-up calls, weather, and local business.
And it'd be a good way to phase out existing services that have been provided on legacy platforms.
Yeah, and the receptionist on desk at like 5 a.m. in the morning and he's like asleep and he doesn't want to be there. He's like, oh, I've got to get that wake-up call to that person. And then, you know, he's got to call that person. And if they don't get it, the whole day's ruined. So, yeah, that guy can have a sleep in. So that's good news for that guy. Flight sticks or joysticks, as they're otherwise known, are selling out after the release of Microsoft Flight Simulator 2020.
Geez, I wonder why. And, you know, that is still bogging down internet connections around the world because it's not a small download. And on
90
the day,
gig.
And yep, 90. And not only that, you've also got to download, I guess, the base of the application first to be able to begin that download. So
yeah,
if you've got any problems along the way, you're going to have a great one. And on the launch day, it took ISPs, some work to keep everyone in line to be able to download it. And it took some people some time to grab it. I still haven't tried it yet. Maybe that's what I should do on the weekend.
Not one to get if you have a cap on your internet.
Well, like who does these days, though?
I know, right? Like, it's weird that they still offer these plans with, like, 500 gig. Maybe, like, your grandparents.
Well, yeah.
But it also streams, like, high-res 4K data as you fly. So you're constantly downloading things. But, yeah, it's awesome. And I haven't tried it, but as a fan of aviation and flying and things and the very fact that you could potentially teach yourself to fly a Cessna 172 or something, or at least get some practice in, you know, all that theory without spending $270, $300 a flight session. Oh. I think it's brilliant. Anyway, so here we go. The speaking of like flying and aviation, the FAA will test drone detecting technologies in airports this year, which I'm surprised that they don't already have this technology in place.
Well, yeah. I mean, drones haven't necessarily been flown in the manner that they should be in every country and every city. So, you know, why isn't it already in place? It could be useful.
Twitter experiments with adding a quotes count to tweets. Have you seen this, heard about this?
I haven't actually.
So instead of just like the retweet, it's a whole new thing. So it's basically like retweets where people have like commented on the retweet.
Which is pretty much what some forum platforms do. You can essentially quote a previous post, it'll pop it in there and then give you the option to reply to that even. So I'm guessing that sort of idea as well.
This way you can, rather than everyone just like retweet, but then there's like nothing with it. You can see how many big people change. Actually are commenting to your retweet.
Yeah.
Or your tweet, sorry. They comment to your tweet. So then there's like content for you to potentially engage with rather than a retweet where, I don't know. Anyway, it's all confusing. We'll see what happens. It's only an experiment. They might not go with it. It's only limited accounts.
It'll be confusing. A permanent thing and we won't even notice.
But then we'll talk about it more and we'll go in depth about it. But that's just a little quick thing. They're always experimenting and playing with new features. Instagram guides will soon allow creators to recommend places, products, and more.
And they're rolling in extra features which allow the ability for businesses to provide coupons and discounts and gift cards and all sorts of other things into Instagram as well, which is good for those people who like to foodstagram along the way.
Yeah, and like imagine being able to team up with a restaurant and be like, hey, I have a million followers and I'll recommend your restaurant if you give me $100,000, right? Like, there's a lot.
Well, it's already happening.
You don't need to be. You don't have to have a whole tab for it. You can just have a photo and say, "Oh, the food was great here at this place." Whatever. Anyway, and the final quick head
give it to us
of the week. Elon Musk,
Electric Jesus,
a demo of a working Neuralink device tomorrow. On Friday, or maybe that's Saturday our time, but in a couple of days. So are you familiar with his whole Neuralink project? It's essentially like putting a computer in your brain and assimilating you with like AI and technology so then you can control things with your mind.
And who's he going to show this with?
Well, I don't know. We'll find out on Friday. So, I mean, if you're interested in that, it's 6 p.m. Eastern time, which I'm not too sure what that converts to here in Australia. It's probably going to be like 3 a.m. or something in the morning.
Maybe he's going to put it on himself. Replay.
I don't think he's like inserting it, but it's like a device. Yeah. So it's probably going to be like here's the device and here's what it could do rather than like, I have a thing in my head now. So that's interesting. He's always up to some wacky things, isn't he?
Yeah. Will the Electric Jesus do next?
We can find out.
More than a car.
On Friday US time, which I think is like 3 a.m. Saturday for us. I think. Don't quote me on that. Just watch the replay later.
I'll be watching the replay. I'm not staying up.
But interesting one to look out on. So that's what my weekend's looking like because I'm not allowed to leave the house at all.
One hour a day. You can go for exercise.
1 hour a day.
And you've got a groovy mode of transportation for exercise as well.
I do.
All the things you talked about.
You know what I mean? Like, you have limits imposed on you and you feel like, you know, you. It's when people tell you not to do things and you want to do them.
Oh, you want to do them even more.
I've never wanted to go hiking or camping or exercising for 1 hour and 1 hour and a half.
But you can't do that.
Can't do that.
Can't do it. No.
So I'm going to be watching Elon Musk put a robot in his brain.
I'll be happy when he brings his satellite to Australia and parts of the country can use that instead of the NBN. Because
I was reading actually another article about that saying that if he put his link up in, it would interfere with space exploration and telescopes and weather. People are saying it will do more harm than good.
Yeah.
But there's always those people, isn't there?
Yes, yes. You look at the 5G naysayers. All the things I reckon 5G does, other than provides internet.
That's something we can talk about another podcast.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, I think that was a good, solid episode back, and I had a great time, and I look forward to next week.
We're getting back into the groove, which is fantastic. And, you know, if you want to...
Maybe.
Yeah.
Some exciting things, some exciting developments maybe.
Well, send us a development. mail@techwrap.net via email. Zing.
There you go.
Pleasure to chat. It's great to be back into it again.
Absolutely. I look forward to it. Same time next week.